Sometimes the government needs to keep secrets. Sometimes wrongdoing has to be dragged out into the sunshine. That means sometimes people are mean-spirited leakers, and other times they're public-spirited whistleblowers. How do agency executives sort that one out? And what rights do whistleblowers have in the ultra-sensitive intelligence community? For some answers, we turn to Deborah D'Agostino, founding partner of the Federal Practice Group. And Deborah, first of all, good to have you back.
Good to be here.
And the intelligence community issues, let's say, surrounding the Trump administration and events that led to the resignation of the National Security Advisor have complicated things. But let's start back at the beginning here. Tell us what the definition of whistleblower is. Probably should be obvious, but probably a good thing to restate.
No, it's honestly not all that obvious. So a whistleblower is going to be someone who makes a protected disclosure. And so what constitutes a protected disclosure is going to depend on the various law that applies to you. So for most federal employees, we're talking about the Whistleblower Protection Act or the Whistleblower Protection Enhancement Act, which is going to define a protected disclosure as a report of an abuse of authority, fraud, waste, and abuse, a violation of regulation, law, or rule. It's not just tattling about some wrongdoing. It's really supposed to rise to a certain level of public concern in order to be called a protected disclosure. But what exactly constitutes a protected disclosure is something that, to date, we're fighting about in almost every case.
Because you could, say, blow the whistle on someone that you didn't like that got a promotion to a major supervisory job. I'm just making this up. And you could say, well, that constitutes an abuse of the authority by the person doing the promoting, where in that person's opinion, no, they were highly qualified. And so you get into personnel issues, and that could be a gray area.
That could be a gray area. And so in that case, that we're really going to dive down into whether or not that employee who believes he or she blew the whistle had a reasonable belief that that personnel action was an abuse of authority. Or whether it actually was an abuse of authority, or if it was just a decision the person disagreed with, which wouldn't be protected.
I guess if the person promoted was a known thief or something, or embezzler, then maybe you'd probably have a good case as a whistleblower.
Quite possibly.
So sometimes the facts can really affect what the situation dictates in terms of whether it's real whistleblowing.
Absolutely. The facts definitely drive these situations.
And what have you seen in terms of just the numbers, the trends in whistleblowing cases? There seem to be a lot of them surrounding VA over the last couple of years. And what about now?
There's been a tremendous rise in, whistleblowing generally over the past, 5 or 6 years. There's been a drastic increase. The Office of Special Counsel, who's the body that takes whistleblower complaints from federal employees, has been completely swamped and overburdened. It's interesting. I think we've seen good come from whistleblowing in the past few years, like what happened at the VA, for example. And so, there's really bipartisan support for enhancing the rights of whistleblowers, which, obviously anything that has bipartisan support this day and age is a rare thing, but whistleblowers have that.
And OSC does publicize their decisions, usually in favor of whistleblowers, but I don't think they necessarily crow about what they turn down. And so do we have any idea of how many whistleblower cases actually result in, that was whistleblowing and good for you, versus
go away? Well, OSC has a pretty in-depth screening process. So if you file a complaint with OSC, they're going to do an inquiry up front to decide whether or not they want to prosecute that case. And so if they decline to prosecute a case, then they issue the employee what's called an individual right of action. And then that employee could pursue the claim before the MSPB, the Merit Systems Protection Board.
We're speaking with Deborah D'Agostino, founding partner of the Federal Practice Group and someone who handles whistleblower cases on behalf of federal employees. Let's talk about the intelligence community now. One side and the other side, let's say, to simplify this, seem to be talking at cross purposes. On the one side, you have purported people in the intelligence community saying that this is material about Flynn and the contact with Russia, et cetera, had to be disclosed in the national interest. The other side, the Trump administration, is basically saying, and I don't want to oversimplify here, but I will. Well, that's not the issue. The issue is they leaked something that, if it was obtained under a FISA court order, is illegal to leak, and therefore the law breaking is over there. And so how do you sort a case out like this? Because I guess there's special rules for intelligence.
There are special rules for the intelligence community. Just to back up a bit, I think pretty much everyone agrees that whoever blew the whistle on the matters concerning Flynn appears to have violated the Espionage Act, which is actually a criminal statute. The discussion's really been about, okay, so there was a violation of a statute, but you know, does the good of that disclosure outweigh the concern of violating a statute? And it seems to be that pretty big majority thinks yes. I mean, in this case, that information was so crucial for the media and the public to have that whistleblower was justified. But with the intelligence community, they're actually not covered by the Whistleblower Protection Act. So there are some separate laws that cover folks in the intel community, but fundamentally, you know, the rub is always going to be that likely the information someone in the intel community wants to blow the whistle on is classified. And so obviously you're not supposed to be giving classified information to the press. So there are laws that allow intel employees to make disclosures to, for example, Congress or to an entity like DOD IG, the Inspector General. But, you know, if you believe that your disclosure is not going to really be heard by Congress or IG, or if you believe you want to take it externally, then you're almost very likely to be in violation of the law. And so, you know, obviously, if you're in the intel community and you're violating law, you have to know your job's at stake.
Well, more than your job, your reputation, and possibly your financial and life.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If you go to jail, I don't mean you're going to be dead, but the life as you know it could be in danger.
Right. And we've seen some of these cases prosecuted over the past few years. But it's really very recently, extremely recently in the past couple years, or just in the case of FBI employees a couple months ago, that retaliation for permitted whistleblowing has become illegal. And so until very recently, intel employees who blew the whistle correctly, who made the disclosure to Congress or to IG, could still be retaliated against for those disclosures. And so there was just a big loophole. And I'd say the recent statutes have closed that somewhat, but it's still not seen as being perfect or at all equivocal to what other federal employees are afforded.
I guess it's safe to say that regardless of the legitimacy of the ground on which you blow the whistle or the material over which you do blow it, it's still risky to blow the whistle.
It is, and I think everyone feels that and everyone knows that. And I think it's actually been interesting that there has been sort of a trending increase in whistleblowing overall. I think there is some safety in numbers.
Sure.
That gives whistleblowers some comfort that there's some folks looking out for them.
Let me ask you this about the intelligence community. Would the nature or the content of what Flynn's contacts with Russia actually were mitigate one way or another whether it was legitimate to disclose? What I mean is, suppose he just talked about the weather in Siberia that day. That's one thing. And we know that the Russian regime tends to kill people that it doesn't agree with. And so if you said, well, this guy you don't like is going to be dining in this restaurant and he likes broccoli, so make sure you poison the broccoli or put the radioactive pill there, that would be a different type of discussion between Mr. Flynn and the Russians. Again, I'm making this all up. But would that have any difference in the ultimate disposition of the whistleblower case?
Well, any disclosure of a communication of intelligence activities. In other words, the fact that the whistleblower had knowledge of the recording of the conversation between Flynn and the Russian, that was disclosed, that communication was disclosed is where the violation of the Espionage Act comes in. So pretty hard to have knowledge of that unless you're in a position that's in the intel community. And certainly that's going to be classified information.
So if this person from the intelligence community, and I guess we don't know who it is, ends up on your doorstep as a whistleblower case, what would your advice and counsel be? How would you handle that case? I blew the whistle. I told about Flynn. I looked at the classified transcript of the conversation and sent it to the New York Times. What do you do with that person? You personally as their lawyer.
Well, personally as their lawyer, I would probably refer them to one of my coworkers who does criminal law, because I think that this person's criminal law concerns would override the employment law concerns that this person might have. But, you know, I do think that under the current whistleblower laws that cover those in the intelligence community, I mean, bottom line, if your disclosure violates a criminal statute, I can't see anything that would deem that to be a legal disclosure. So, you know, the question's really going to be, are there going to be resources invested in finding out who made the disclosure? I mean, for example, back in the Nixon era, obviously there were some very famous leaks, but law enforcement didn't expend resources chasing those down. And so, you know, while those leaks were likely illegal and not protected disclosures, you know, because of
the value. And they came from the FBI, we found out decades later.
Exactly, exactly.
Deborah D'Agostino is founding partner at the Federal Practice Group. I'm not sure we solved anything, but we did cover some interesting problems. I guess if you send that that person down the hall to your criminal colleagues, the rate's probably higher, too.
Potentially.
Hey, thanks so much for joining me.
Sure thing.
You can find a link to this interview, along with our long-running whistleblower coverage, at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.